Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
The science fiction series Ancient Destiny by Albert Lynn Clark presents many issues to ponder and suggest some inventions needed for space travel. The series starts in today's world and through forced invention gets mankind into space colonization to save the human race. Most of the science presented is in some stage of development right now. There are a number of morale issues discussed as well. Book 3, Generations, adds new crew members as replacements, new science concepts, searches for knowledge on other planets, visiting Earth years after its destruction, encountering an enemy, finding who built ship, and the so-called Library of Atlantis, more Martian history, and first contact with Galactic Alliance. Book 3, Generations, is full of excitement. Albert Lynn Clark is a widowed, retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel and civil servant, a distinguished career spanning several decades as he's made significant contributions to military operations, technology development, and international relations, from solving bomb shortages during the Vietnam War to pioneering an advancement in the global positioning system. Albert's work has left an indelible mark on modern warfare and technology. Back with us to discuss Ancient Destiny, Book 3, Generations, is Albert Lynn Clark, the author. Albert, once again, thank you for joining us on the program. I love these. I look forward to these, the stories that you're telling in the series, and we continue with Book 3 today. Thank you for being with us.
Albert, I'm glad to be here. I always enjoy talking about my books.
And we enjoy listening, so it works out. The combination just works perfectly for us. It's Albert Lynn Clark. His website is albertlynnclark.com. We'll go over that as we go through the book. Let's briefly recap what happened in Volume 2, the last time we talked, and get into some of all the excitement that I mentioned coming up in Book Number 3. Where did we leave off in Book 2?
Well, actually, we left off with... they were escaping, they were on their way to other colonies, and they're going to three different planets because we don't want to put all of humanity on one planet again like we had here on Earth. So there's a limited number of colonists that can go because each ship only carries 1,000 people. And different countries developed their own ships. Well, actually, the United States developed all the ships and just provided the technology to everybody because the idea is the united world trying to escape the Earth before it gets destroyed and heading off to create colonies on other planets. Now, the ship in Volume 2 did some exploring and found other planets that were suitable for a human to live on, but for one reason or another, they rejected them because maybe they had, you know, vicious animals that would not be very nice to be living next to.
Yes.
But they found several planets that are suitable for human activity that had the minerals that we would need, like fossil fuels.
Yes.
And maybe uranium to if we can ever get a reactor built in the future. And trees, because, you need building materials, and that's the easiest thing to use is trees. So those are all essential things that each planet needs to have to be able to support life. Now, one planet was kind of interesting in that somebody had already built it up. There were houses, there were generation facilities for electricity. It was almost a pre-made planet, but there were no people. They'd gone on and they'd left the planet sitting there empty. So one group of colonist ships goes to that planet, but we didn't want to put all of them there because there might be something wrong, because we've just had a cursory exploration of that planet, just like cursory explorations of the other planets. But so we actually sent people to other planets also besides that one. Now in Generations, they've been there for a while. They've got their society up and running. They built, and instead of living on board the ship while it's sitting on the ground, they have gone out and built other houses. They've artificially produced various different earth animals like cows and pigs and chickens, and they built corrals or chicken huts for the chickens and corrals for the other animals to keep them in so they won't go wandering off into the wilderness that covers the whole planet. But they've also found natural resources. Naturally, one of the easiest resources to find is fossil fuels, because the plants themselves generate oil underground. It's not from dinosaurs, it's not from plants. It's naturally generated in the earth, and so it's pretty easy to drill down without causing a whole lot of damage to the planet, and just drill down, pump out the oil, and refine it for use in other ways. So that's the easiest resource to find. And of course, also we don't want to use wood forever, so we need to find some iron ore and things like that to be able to smelt iron for steel for other more modern buildings and other things we need to do. So anyway, they're well established now, and but they one of the things they did was they traveled back to Earth. Once they got them established, the ship with its six women and one man, and they have had to replace a couple of people because one of their original crew members decided to stay on a planet that was pretty much an untouched Earth, very much like Earth with forests and so forth, and very similar planet climate. And she decided to stay there and have children like a normal person instead of staying on board the ship, because staying on board the ship, they don't even age very much. And they can't have children because every time the ship teleports them, it basically takes them apart into subatomic materials and rebuilds
Oh,
them
yes.
at their destination. Or when they leave that planet and go back to the ship, they get rebuilt again. So they're always going back to their original genetic makeup, basically. So there's no possibility of having children along the way. So she decides to stay behind on one of the planets and have a semi-normal life with one man and six women for each family. And another one, one of the planet that had all those buildings that were already there from a previous civilization, and they basically moved into them, did some repairs, put glass in the windows and things like that. The glass had been getting broken over the years. And they refurbished the buildings, and but they were having some political problems. And with her knowledge that she'd gained from ship, which is the ship telepathically trained her in all of the not all but a great big portion of the entire knowledge of intelligent species for 50,000 years. So she stays behind on that planet to provide guidance to them, and she gets elected as president of the colony. So she stayed behind. So he had to come up with
Yeah, too.
two more crew members to replace those two that decided to stay somewhere. And of course, the minute they stay on a planet, they start to age again. So they may have been 18 or 19 when they left for the ship, and they stayed 18 or 19, maybe 20 years old. They might have aged a little bit because they did spend some time on the planets. When they get left behind, all of a sudden they age normally. So after 10, 15 years, they're 10, 15 years older than anybody on the ship. So they can't go back, but they're happy where they are.
I love the story that Albert tells, and if this is the first time you're listening to him, you understand he's really in these stories, and what he offers, scientific advances, are all plausible, and it's so fascinating to understand who the characters are, how this all developed. And we're going to talk right now about book number three, Generations. Books one and two, of course, are available. All the books are available. Book one is Ship. Book two is Escape from Earth, that we talked about last time. Generations is book three. Book four is Survival. And it takes you all through, and it's fascinating. It really is a great read. Books available wherever books are sold. And again, Albert's website is albertlynclark.com. Albert, let's go to book three, Generations. I mentioned some of the things that they were going to tackle during the course of book three. There's really a lot of action here, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. For one thing, now that the colonies are up and running, they go back to visit Earth to see what kind of damage occurred. And they find the Library of Atlantis that Plato talked about. There is a Library of Atlantis, and someday we'll find it. And he gave some locations for it. Well, it wasn't there, but they found it. And as they're looking through the Library of Atlantis, they were attacked by alien ships from another planet. And they were using nuclear weapons against the ship and impacted the ship several times. But the ship has since, as we discussed earlier, absorbs everything. So it just sort of added the power of the nuclear weapon to its storage of, of subatomic materials. And but it did suffer some damage. So they basically ran. They don't have offensive weapons on the ship. But they followed these ships back to their home planet, and in monitoring the planet, they were a very warlike group of that had broken off from Atlantis. And when the people from Atlantis escaped the Earth back 12,000 years ago, these people went to a different planet and didn't go with the main group of Atlantans that were peaceful, and. So they decided they need to take care of them because they're threatening civilization. So what they do is they literally use ship to slow down at a large asteroid that is a small moon that's circling that planet they've discovered now with Martians on it. And they use the ship to actually push against one of the moons to slow its orbit down to where it crashes into the planet, pretty much okay. Taking out most of the people there. So then they come back to the colonies again, and the colonies are being threatened by another group of aliens that are not human form, but they're various different type of creatures. They have several planets in a solar system that are. The planets are actually relatively close together, but one of them is basically the ruling planet is what we would call gorillas or maybe yetis or.
Oh, okay.
But they seem to be the most powerful and sort of rule the other planets. One planet is basically the worker bees that they. Don't really have much organization, and they're used to farm products for the other planets, and they use for mining and things like that. That are not nice jobs. And then they got sort of a middle group that's in between the worker bees and the rulers in that third planet, and that one planet with the yetis or gorillas or whatever you call them. Uses the others as servants, different levels of servants. So it's not a very friendly place. And of course, again, one of the factors is that they don't use women. Women are objects. And Craig takes along Karen, which is their survivalist, who's an American Indian, with him to a council meeting on the middle planet. And to introduce him to a woman that's not a servant.
Oh, yes.
And it didn't take long for them to realize that, hey, she's just as powerful, maybe more powerful than what Craig is.
Yes.
So basically they re-educate the planets and actually changes their entire solar system of that. Those enemies and because they had destroyed that one planet by moving a moon to where it crashed into the planet. They were these this new galactic empire or whatever they want to call themselves are very convinced that the ship has some powerful weapons on board that they don't want to mess with, that they can't compete with. An interesting factor there is that the space probes from that galactic empire use dark energy versus we used dark matter to accelerate to above light speed to go to other colony, you know, to go to other planets. They use dark energy, which they basically charge the ship with dark energy, and it uses that dark energy until it runs out of energy and then just stays out in space wherever it was, it ran out of fuel. But one of the things they did was they send this new galactic empire sent a probe out to Earth, and they reported back to the Craig and his crew the fact that one of their probes to Earth found human living on Earth after the big impact. So not everybody was destroyed. There's some kind of colony on Earth that survived, and that gets us into Volume 4.
Well, that's interesting because, yes, we sort of forgot about America in this thing, and you've got them living in what, the southern part of the state, a particular area that, and they're all older people there too, right?
Right. Yeah, and these are people that survived the impact because basically the impact was in Asia, and South Texas is on the other side of the planet.
Yeah, yes.
Now, there's a nuclear winter from the ash and so forth from the original impact that made the first winter on after that basically without a sun, almost without a sun. So it was very, very cold, and the people had to just survive the best they could with whatever they had stored up at that point in time.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
But now that the air has cleared from all the ash that from the original impact, and now this is 20 to 30 years later than the impact. So after 20 or 30 years after the Earth was not quite destroyed, they're now trying to rebuild civilization. And so ship goes back to Earth to look for that whoever survived. And they find him living in the southern part of the United States, which is warmer because it warmed up quicker. The northern states were still pretty much of an ice age with several feet of snow laying around the Great Lakes and so forth, all around close to Canada. And Canada was, of course, totally covered. Europe is pretty much ice age still. But southern United States has warmed up. Now, we don't know about South America and so forth because nobody found anybody surviving down there. But there was a few survivalists that a multimillionaire actually created a survival camp where he had underground bunkers. He had buried fuel trucks underground and had everything connected with pipes.
Good thinking, yes.
To withstand whatever happened to Earth, where he would survive. He and his family would survive for a while, and then people ended up coming to his camp and living there as they started gradually moving out from his camp to build to rebuild towns and so forth in that southern zone of the United States. And again, with it, the refineries weren't working, but among the survivors were people that were petroleum engineers that could get the refineries working again to start producing fuel for the people there. And of course they rebuilt some tractors and vehicles and so forth, and reopened some roads, had to build some bridges and so forth to connect. And so basically we've got a new civilization starting all going down around Brownsville, Texas, the southern point of the United States, and going over toward Alabama. And there are survivalist camps that are being reorganized as a new civilization, but they have several things they don't have. So ship, if you remember from the earlier books, has the capability of producing anything, but it can't mass produce.
Yes.
So it can produce an example that works, and it may work forever with its new metals and so forth that just don't wear out. And so they are missing a few critical pieces to help them survive or help their advancement toward really modern world. And so the ship provides a few examples like that the people there in southern United States need to help advance their technology. Well, as they're done whatever they can, I mean, there's only so much that six women and one man can do for a new
Yes.
civilization that has several thousand people. So they move on and they go back to the Library of Atlantis, and they find information that the Atlantean people did, they left before the Great Flood, and they went out into space somewhere, and they got a distance to travel from Earth, and they come across some they come across, for instance, one of their ships from Atlantis, and they were using multi-generational ships. By that I mean, instead of having faster than light travel, they were traveling at close to the speed of light, but not above the speed of light from Atlantis. And their ships were like a great big wheel, like the images that we have of what a space station should look like out in space, where it's a great big wheel that is rotating for artificial gravity. That's way beyond our current space stations, but that's what the images were going to be like before we actually put a space station up there. And it, but
Fascinating.
they have a central power core that it provides forward motion, which then the outer rim is where the people live and work around the outside rim of the big wheel going through space, where you don't have to worry about aerodynamics because there's no air to slow it down. So it didn't matter what it looks like as long as it's got some power behind it to keep it moving. And it had been hit by some meteors and was basically non-functional. All the people were gone on board, but the ship and its women explore the ship and understand a lot about the Atlantean civilization from that ship, and also more information about where it was going. So they keep following the traces of Atlantis, and they finally find the new Atlantis, which is actually three planets around a single star, and the planets are relatively close together, and they can commute back and forth with rocket ships that are sub light speed, and they're pretty well civilized. But again, they're y using women just like the ship originally had offered Craig concubines.
Yes.
That's how Atlantis is still treating women. So anyway, they find Atlantis, and and the ship can translate instantly. So when you're talking to somebody from Atlantis, they obviously don't speak English, but the ship can hear them, and instantly in the mind of Craig and his crew, they understand it in English, even though it's actually
Okay.
some very, very strange language. Again, when they speak English, the people from Atlantis won't be able to understand them because, hey, English language didn't exist 12,000 years ago. But again, the ship can actually make them to where they understand Atlanteans and actually speak Atlanteans back to the people from Atlantis. So anyway, they again do their bit about teaching the Atlanteans that they need to use the women, because the women are they're losing half their population of intelligence, because by only using men, they have a
Yes.
very slanted view of everything. So by using the women, their intelligence, they actually basically double their brain power.
Yes.
And they
Wow.
have new views of things and what they should be doing. And so it helps that whole Atlantean civilization. And while they're there, they're get in contact with the Foundation, which is the rulers of the Milky Way galaxy, basically. And they you can't transmit electronic signals from planet to planet without waiting years for it to get there. So if you're talking 100 light years away, hello, will take 100 years to come to the,
wow,
the
yes.
other people's.
Hard to imagine. Hello.
So again, the United States and Russia and several other countries have done experiments where they're trying to use a form of telepathy to be able to transmit ideas across distances faster than the speed of light, with the idea that when you have space travelers, if you have two people that think alike and can really and can understand each other, that it, they can have communication that's faster than light because it happens sort of simultaneously. And we've done experiments in the laboratories here in the United States and other places around Earth, where we have molecules that talk to each other like that, where reaction to one molecule causes a reaction to another molecule thousands of miles away. And we've actually done that in the labs.
It's amazing.
That's not exactly transmitting a thought. But
well, it's a step in that direction. It's amazing the technology that we get a peek of in Albert's books. And boy, it's unfortunate the time has gone by so quickly, as it has for all of the programs. Now, the four books are available right now. Book one is Ship. Book two is Escape from Earth. Excuse me. Book three is Generations. Book four is Survival. All of the books available wherever books are sold, directly to Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Albert's website is albertlynnclark.com. I'd like to thank EC Publishing, bringing your vision to life with expert editing, design, and marketing tailored to your needs. EC Publishing LLC, the website, ECPublishingLLC.com. And all of the books information available, of course, on our website, and we'll direct you to the right place to get all the information on the series. Are we done with at the end of book four? You've got so many ideas going there. Will we see a book five? Will there be will Ship return?
Yes, there might be. I left I didn't leave a cliffhanger like I did the first three volumes, but I didn't close it off either. So there's possibility of a book five. I'll throw in one other thing. Karen, if you remember, was the American Indian.
Yes.
That sort of has the ability to feel things that other people can't feel. And she ends up being the interpreter between the Galactic Foundation and the Ship. Like, she learns to telepathically communicate with the Foundation across hundreds of light years in simultaneous communication. And that's the end of that book.
That was what amazing stories in all of them. And again, all four books in the series are available wherever books are sold. You can link on directly to Albert's website as well as Amazon by going to thisweekinamerica.us. Albert, you spent a lot of time really opening up this world and letting us all enjoy it for the three interviews that we've been able to do. Thank you for joining us on the program. It's been a great pleasure. We'll stay in touch, and good luck with everything, a movie project here, one of the other books talking about a movie project. So much going on. We will stay in touch. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoy talking about my books. I could talk for days.
Well, it's amazing, the stories. And when you read them again, keep in mind that, okay, this may be not all that far-fetched. Albert knows what he's talking about with his background, and the presentation is exciting. You won't be able to put the books down once you start reading. It's the Ancient Destiny series, and all the information, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You're listening to This Week in America, and we return on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.